Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Regardless of where you are right now, you're listening to episode 71 of the Player Player Podcast, your weekly excuse to sit back, relax, and think about everything gaming. Every Thursday, your two favorite baby boys try to bring you a casual and candid discussion about the things we love and hate about video games. I'm your host, Joseph Hooper, a.k.a. The Hoop Man, along with my co-host, I can't even say this shit. Holy crap. The strategic soldier. Arsene Lagba. Why did I do this to myself?
All right, team, we gotta get out, okay? Make sure you can get in the trenches. We don't wanna get caught out.
Oh, no. I had something, bro, but then you had me dying over there. I just forgot everything completely. The strategic soldier.
Wait, say it again.
The strategic soldier.
The strategic soldier. Oh, I got it.
The strategic Damn. Soldier. Strategic soldier. Strategic. I'm stop. Stop all on my head.
Well, guys, we're back. We're back for another episode. Episode 71. Here
Turn
in
up.
The month of November, and we got a pretty packed slate of topics for you guys coming up. We got a lot of games to discuss. We got to talk about Sekiro. Both Arsene and I are pretty close to finishing Sekiro. Pokemon's coming out. We're going to be talking about that. Stadia's dropping soon. We're probably going to be talking about that. We might talk about Destiny. We might talk about our holiday gift guide to games or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But we got a lot of episodes planned over the next couple weeks. So before we really dive into all the nitty-gritty boilerplate, you already know we're talking about these games. I wanted to bring a little topic, an interesting topic, I guess you would say. And this spawned because of me playing Sekiro. Because I was constantly, basically how I'm playing Sekiro, and we'll talk about this whenever, but every time I beat a boss, like, the bosses are so hard that I'm like, I gotta know how. I gotta know how people are saying to beat this guy. So after I beat the boss, I'll look up the guide on the boss, and I'm like, oh, so that was the trick to him, or whatever. So I wanted to talk about strategy guides this episode. I guess before we even break down all the different talking points on this, I want to know, what's your opinion, Arsene, on strategy guides? Like, are you like, nah, bro, I'm not going to use a strategy guide. I'm going to beat the game legit. Or is it case by case basis? Like what's your relationship with strategy guides?
Personally, I've never even thought about looking at a strategy guide. And I actually look down on people who even think about using strategy guides. No, I'm actually playing. Oh, wow. I love strategy guides. I think it's super helpful to have, like, you know, just like some type of, like, you know, reference that you can refer to when you're really in a pickle. I try not to. I have like a, okay, the more I like a game, the more I'm really like trying in a game. I think that's the less I'm actually going to, like, you know, use, the less likely I am to use a guide. But if it's a game that, like, I guess, like, I'll even use Sekiro, for example. Like, starting out, I'm like, oh, this is super fun. Like, there's a lot of things that I'm learning. I don't really want to, you know, I don't want to be handheld. But it gets to a point where I'm like, or sometimes, I guess, in various games, it gets to a point where I'm like, okay, I've put in a lot of hours. I've, like, you know, really, I've played through this game a lot, and now I'm just focusing more on just trying to get to the end, and I have less motivation to try and figure out solutions to, like, the problems on my own. I still, like, will try, don't get me wrong, but I will, like, you know, if it gets to the point where I'm like, all right, bro, like, what's next? I'm not about to spend, like, another 15, 20 minutes, like, just staring at the screen, or just keep getting KO'd by the stupid fucking monkey man. Like, I gotta, like, look up, at least, like, a tip. That's the very least. Yeah. And then, like, you know, it just really depends on, like, you know, how much help I think I need. And so I'm no stranger to a strategy guide. I will, you know, look here and there when I need it. But I'm definitely not gonna, like, sit there and just, like, you know, let the strategy, pull up the strategy guide as soon as I boot up a game. Be like, all right, let's get to it. Let's see step one.
Okay.
My move. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, for me, and I guess I have a follow-up question, but I'll start with this. Like, for me, it's very much a case-by-case, pretty much similar to what you say, except I'm very much, for the most part, like, I will not use a strategy guide. If it's a game I really like, that I really am like, if I'm like a couple hours in and I'm like, no, this game is fantastic, I love this game, then I refuse to use a strategy guide. So when I got the platinum for Spider-Man, when I got the platinum for God of War, all those games, I was like, no, I'm not using a strategy guide. I don't want to see anything. I don't want to be like tipped off that, oh, this mechanic is in the game, because if I really, really like a game, I'm going to comb every single part of that game. And then there's games like Sekiro that are just super hard. And I also kind of like, I also really like Sekiro. And this is a game where I'm like, no, I'm not looking up a strategy guide at all. Like, I'm going to beat all these bosses legit. And then after I beat the bosses, then I'll go back and I'll say, oh, like, this is how the boss really was supposed to be beat, or this is the trick to this boss. But I don't want to know that beforehand, because it's just like it's a game that I really enjoy, and I want to be able to complete the game and be like, oh, yeah, like, I conquered that game, or like, I did everything, I discovered everything as like on my own. You know, I had my own experience and my own story to tell with the game. But there are some games, like when the game starts becoming like, when the game starts turning to shit, for example, you know, the game that I will always use as my punching bag, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, hell yeah.
When they're like, oh, yeah, like, there's just one achievement. You got to just find all the hidden Mickeys. And I'm like, nah, bro. First of all, I didn't even do it. But if I did do it, I'm not doing that stuff manually. Because it's like, there are some things in games where it's just like, this is not fun. This is not okay. Like, or it'll be like the game is just way too big. Like, if it's Fallout 3, I don't think I use a strategy guide, but, you know, I'm sure I would have thought about it, or like, I wouldn't have been opposed, because the game is just so big that it's like, oh, I want to see what I missed. Mm-hmm. But I'm not using it to get help. But Kingdom Hearts 3, games that have insane collectibles or just like insane tasks, random tasks that they want you to figure out or do, I'm like, no, if it's not fun, I'm looking it up. And I'm just trying to get past it.
But isn't Spider-Man kind of like that? Like, I mean, just at least in some ways a little tedious when it comes to those like collectible type, or I guess like the missions they want you to complete.
I mean, yeah. So Spider-Man is tedious, but it's not, Spider-Man is, I found it fun though, because it's like, oh, collect all the backpacks. Well, within the first like what, an hour in the game or whatever, it's like, we're going to tell you exactly where all the backpacks are. You just got to go and get them. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Mm. Or it's like, oh, you got to clear out 50,000 factions. Yeah, it's kind of annoying, but I don't need a guide to do it.
Okay.
Like, it's like it's not like, hey, there's 100 factions. Go hunt them all down. You can't find them on the map. And yeah, good luck. It's like, oh my God. Like, if you want me to collect anything, you got to give me a way to find it on the map. Like, you just got to. Like, the only thing, like, even God of War, like, had some pretty, the collectibles, it was a big challenge where you had to find all these ravens in the game. And I just, like, found 80% of them organically, where I was just, like, listening, and I'm like, oh, they have these little sound cues. The maps for each area aren't massive. They're pretty linear and like small enough to where you can comb it and find these collectibles. And then there was one that was in like the overworld where it was like, hey, there's one raven left and you got to find it. And this overworld is huge. And at that point I was like, okay, I'm gonna look it up on a guide, just because it's like, that's not fun. And it's not at fault of the game, but it's like, I've completed this entire game and I just don't want to spend an hour trying to find this one little guy. So I was like, you know, I've done 99% of the work. I don't feel bad looking for this one last guy. But yeah, like, I agree with you. Things like Kingdom Hearts or things like Spider-Man, some things are tedious, but one, if it's fun, I don't mind it. Like, if it's fun and there's a clear end where it's like, hey, they're all here, you just got to go and get them, I'm like, okay, we can do that. Yeah, what about collectibles for you? That's also what I was going to ask. Like, what do you think about collectibles and using guides? Or, like, do you even care about collectibles or anything like that?
I, like, a part of me wants to care about collectibles. Like, I want to, you know, sometimes, at least, like, I don't know, like if it's like a cool type of collectible. Like I really like, we, you know, we're talking with Spider-Man, I really enjoyed the backpacks just because, you know, they gave like nice little tidbits on some Peter Parker Spider-Man lore. I was like, okay, yeah, I didn't know that. I was like, oh wow, they first this was a backpack. It has a picture of like the menu from their first date, him and Mary Jane. I'm like, oh wow, that's like something like actually interesting. There was like some value to the collectibles. However, like you mentioned as well in Kingdom Hearts, like those types of collectibles, and like I'm not like, you know, bashing God of War, but like I feel like even with like the Odin's Ravens or whatever, like those don't really. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I guess the ravens do have like a meaning or whatever, but like they just don't feel like they have like some type of, they don't give me anything like in terms of
It's just collecting, it's just work, just extra work.
Yeah. And so like if I like, the only time that I will actively, or like I guess that I will actively collect a collectible would be if I were to, you know, just be running around like, you know, completing a mission and I just so happen to look up and I'm like, oh, there's a Mickey symbol, oh, there's a raven, something like that. Like I wouldn't necessarily go out of my way.
Hey guys, sorry we just had a quick disconnection, but Arson was talking about, I guess you guys know what Arson was talking about because there was no breakup for you guys, but Arson, you were talking about you don't really, you know, hunt for collectibles unless it's like, oh, whatever.
I think there are some exceptions, you know, like once in a blue moon, if a game really catches my eye, or it's like really like, I don't know, either I'm really like, you know, like vibing with the game, or if like knowing that collecting all these collectibles will, you know, get me some type of either achievement or, I don't know, like item upgrade or an item in a game. Like for example, the grubs in Hollow Knight.
Yeah.
Still have not completed getting them all, but that is definitely a goal that I'm like actively like going towards. Just because I know that I will get like an item for that. And so that's like, you know, kind of an exception for me. But yeah, I know you kind of do it differently though.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, yeah. I try and do it all legit unless there's just way too many. There's also another use case where like I'm just paralyzed by choice. Like, like RPGs and stuff like that, I'm always using guides. Like I just like my rule for not using guides for games I like just completely goes out of the window for RPGs. Like Persona 5, like I didn't use a guide for any of the bosses, but for all of the maxing out links, how to spend my time, I was just like, I'm never going to play this game again. Like a couple hours in, I was like, there's no way I'm going to come back and replay all of this. So just let me get the most out of this single playthrough that I can. So like games like that where it's like, you know, there's just so much here, I want to just max out my experience because there's a good chance that I'll never play this again. Then in that case, then I'll also be looking up a guide. But like how to beat all the palaces or anything like that, I wasn't really looking at any of that. It was more of the social aspect and how to maximize your schedule. Same with Fire Emblem to a degree. I was just looking up who the best basically the perks of each student that you could recruit, because it's like, I'm not gonna fucking play this 12 times and recruit 16 different builds of students. Like I'm just gonna pick the best people, the coolest people this time and enjoy that.
I definitely regret not doing that for Fire Emblem. I wish I had looked up a guide.
And like, will I ever play Fire Emblem a second time? No, because I haven't even finished the first time. I will. I will. Before the end of the year, I'll finish it, but this is what I'm talking about.
I thought you had Resident Evil on your plate, though.
Resident Evil, 2 weekends. Give me 2 weeks.
That's true. It's only like an 8-hour. It depends. Yeah. Are you trying to do both? All 4 playthroughs, or?
4.
It's technically 4 different stories, because Claire and Leon have, like, you know, their own things, but once you beat Claire, then you unlock Leon's second run or whatever. It's like this, it's like the side B, kind of like a Celeste side B's or whatever, but only it's the whole campaign.
I might do it twice. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. So continuing on this whole guide thing, like guides have taken many forms over the year. Video game guides, originally they were primarily written, and I want to talk about these written guides in a second, but originally they were all primarily written. They were like every game that released, any big game that released, had a giant book, which was essentially a video game guide that detailed how to beat the game, all the secrets, all the hints and all that stuff in the book. I sold it like right there at GameStop alongside the game at Blockbuster as well. Mm-hmm. Then we, you know, evolved a little bit. We got to Game Facts, where you could go to a website. People would help you. People would write up guides there. Then we started getting into like the whole Achievement Hunter era, where now we're, you know, releasing videos how to do very specific tasks. And now we have like playthroughs. We have, you know, complete YouTube channels dedicated to guides. We have websites that are just breaking down guides, all this stuff. So like, if you need answers to a question, the answers are very abundant. And even in the future, apparently next year, if Stadia, you know, fulfills their promise, you'll be able to press a button on your controller that'll say, here, hey, this is how you get through this section when you're playing Stadia.
I did not know that.
You remember that?
I don't remember that, but
you don't remember when they were playing Tomb Raider? And the guy pressed the button. Oh, dang. You got to go check that out.
Check it out. I will.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, guides have been evolving, and I want to know what's your original memories with, like, game guides. Did you buy the physical strategy guides? Did you, like, go to any of these websites? Like, I want to know.
Yeah, so for me, I never bought any of, like, the physical game guides, just because like I knew that they, like, I think I had like some knowledge that they existed, but I wasn't too like, oh, I know this is like a thing that will help me out, or like it, most of the time, like, I wouldn't really care about wanting to like have like a guide for that. But then once I got to the point where I was like, all right, maybe I do need some help, like, you know, figuring out this game, by that time I think we were more in that like game fact era, so I was able to just, you know, hop on my computer or whatever and be like, okay, so how do I, like, you know, get past this? How do I get this one character unlocked or something? And so that was, like, kind of, like, my introduction into the realm of, video game guides. Did I ever get a Pokemon guide in the beginning? I don't think so. I think I had, like, some type of sad Pokemon documentation, but,
Pokemon documentation.
However, I guess I wouldn't consider it a guide, because it's the exact opposite, I would say. It's the cheat code manuals.
Ooh,
I did have a handful of those bad boys lying around game the house for all different types of games and consoles or whatever.
Yes, sir. I had one of those as well, which were rad.
Yeah, they really came in clutch. I mean, it was never like, I feel like most of the times, because like obviously, for starters, you have to have the games that are in the book.
Yeah, that's true.
But the
books will have like 100 games. And that's like, true. Yeah, that'd be on the book. It'd be like, yeah, we got 150 games in here. And then you'd like skim the book and you'd be like, holy shit, they got Pokemon. They got this 5 pages dedicated to Pokemon. Holy shit. Like, what's going on? So, yeah, the cheat code books. I have the Game Shark, too.
Action Replay for DS. I didn't have
the Game Shark. I actually had the... I think I had both. I had the Action Replay for DS, and then I had the Game Shark for like my Game Boy Color or Game Boy Advance or whatever.
Yeah, I love those hacked Pokemon. Do I still have those crazy bad boys? No, I don't think so.
That junk was crazy, bro. You would be putting the cheats on. I don't know how you did it, but like I would plug it up to the PC.
Yeah, I think
put
so,
the cheats on. And then put it on, like, that's crazy.
That was,
bro,
like,
crazy.
It was such, like, I felt like such a hacker at the time. I was like,
I know, right?
My Action Replay. I can't believe they were selling those things in the stores, weren't they? Like,
yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
And they were, like, bricking people's, like, game crush.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I loved it.
The wild, wild west of gaming, I'd say.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, I will say, I have a very, very colored history. I don't even know if that's the vocabulary I want to be using here, but I had a very cool history with video game guides. I remember some of the first guides I did almost always when I was a kid get the physical guide when I got a Pokemon game. Mm-hmm. So I think I had the Fire Red Leaf Green guide. I had the Emerald guide. I think I had the Diamond guide, maybe. Maybe I was out of that, you know, the guide phase at that point. But I also had the Kingdom Hearts one guide, and I might have had the Kingdom Hearts 2 guide as well. And I think the guides really at that time actually enhanced my love for the game. And I think I might have had a Ratchet and Clank guide, I'm not sure. But I had like 4 or 5 of these Primera guides. And Primera were the goats. So they made awesome guides. And the guides were really awesome because it wasn't just like, hey, here's how to get through this part. Here's how to do this. Here was the collectible. Here's this. Here's this. The guides really like took time to put like care and love into the guide and really like not only, you know, helping you through the game, but also giving you context and giving you like, hey, like here's some behind the scenes information that you may not know about the game, or like here's some backstory on this Pokemon, or here's this or this. And it really like went into it really made an effort to like color the video game universe that you were playing in and like take you on a journey as you were reading the book. Like if you bought the book and didn't read the game, like, you know, it's the perfect selling pitch to get the game, because you're like, oh man, this is so cool. Like, oh, this is rad. And like, it'll tell you all the secret things and you're like, whoa, this is cool. Like,
I gotta get this game now.
Exactly, exactly. So that's why I love the guys. Not because I was like playing Pokemon, I was like, dude, I don't know what's happening. But it was more of like, oh dude, this is cool. Like you're reading this book as like along as you play the game, like you're learning all these little secret things. You're really fleshing out the world as you're playing the game. Really cool. So I grew up with that, and then like we slowly started moving to IGN guides, and like once I got the Xbox 360, it became less about that, sadly, and more about the achievements. So that's when we started getting those short form videos, those short form website guys where it's basically, hey, go here, go here, go here. You got the achievement. You locked it up. I'm like, oh, cool, 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 cool. Let's just get the achievements. But I would like to see that come back. I would like to see those guides. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be a guide. Like, I would like to see games release books along with like some sort of like physical collectible, like a book along with the game that basically goes through like the different levels of the game and basically, you know, tells that story and really explains what the game is trying to convey at certain parts. I think that'd be super dope. And like, if we stopped selling discs entirely, like if we stopped selling discs and we just sold books with a digital code with it, that'd be super dope in my opinion. I don't know how you would feel about that. Like, at the end of the day, maybe like after a while, you'd be like, you know, I don't need this trash. Like, it's just a waste anyways. But I think it'd be kind of cool.
It's good as a collectible, definitely.
Yeah.
However, I don't know if I would like, you know, like pair it with the digital code and use that as a selling point almost. Like, you know, I think like, you know, that kind of, I feel like you would need to have that combo of, you know, physical disc and, you know, physical guide to like complete the nostalgia package. Cause like, as of right now, I mean, like sure, discs still exist, but they're almost becoming like, you know, obsolete technology.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
we will be entering into an era soon where it's going to be like, dang, you remember like swapping discs with your boys or whatever. And then you would like, you know,
yeah,
trade games with somebody physically. That's so fun.
Throwback. And then
like, so I think like, people or companies would be able to actually, like, you know, capitalize off of that if they were to, you know, do a little bit of a, you know, this is like down the line, I feel, but like,
right.
They would be able, I think they would be able to capitalize if they were to pair them together. But I mean,
yeah.
Then again, I honestly have no idea. I am not a game marketeer, yeah, whatever you want to call it. But it's just, you know, just an opinion, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm also here saying like, oh, like they should throw a digital code in, but actually they probably should just sell it separately entirely. Like guides never actually came with the game for the most part. I'm sure like there were some deals where it's like, oh, if you buy the guide, you'll get like $10 off the guide or something like that. But for the most part, guides don't come with the game. So it wouldn't even, like them giving a digital code with the guide doesn't really make sense. It'd just be cool if they started releasing, you know, and there's art books and stuff like that, but I really like the idea of the journey of the game and like the developer's explanation of the game. Like playing Sekiro right now, I'm like, what the hell? Like, what is the back? Like, there's clearly, like, you play the game and there's clearly like these storylines that are going out throughout the game. But I'm also like, there's not, it's like not clear the origin of any of this, like what's the story behind these things, and how do I get that lore? It'd be cool to just have a book and like it's like, oh yeah, when you fight this boss, this happens, and this is actually a reference to in the Sekiro universe, this and this. Go to these pages to like learn more about these specific concepts. That'd be super awesome, and be like a cool thing to have with the game. But yeah, like I don't know, like that when we talk about strategy guides, that's my most nostalgic memory, is having that physical thing and having like the encyclopedia to the game universe, essentially. Have you ever had like, do you have any memories of like having a boss where you're like, nah, dude, I gotta use a fucking strategy guide. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of some like, you mean like, I guess like going back to the younger days of gaming,
Days or even like most recently, were there things on Sekiro where you were like, dude, I can't do this.
Okay. Well, yeah, definitely Sekiro. I can definitely speak, you know, that is fresh in my memory. So I think sometimes like, especially like with some of the bosses, I think I've kind of like done a similar strategy as you've done, where I've looked after a boss fight to see how like people are actually doing it. Yeah. There were a couple of exceptions to that, but during a fight though, I will look at a guide sometimes if it's been like, all right, I've literally done like 20 tries. I don't think I've made any progress. Like I'm just missing something. And most of the times I don't get like full on, you know, strategy. I don't like, you know, completely look for that, but I do look for like the little interesting tips that I'm like, that's actually interesting. Like for example, with the Guardian Ape, I will always, you know, talk about spoiler. This dumb monkey. What?
Are you gonna give a spoiler or no?
Oh, I mean, like
on how to beat him. I guess it doesn't matter if you don't want to know how to beat the Guardian Ape, then.
Yeah, I mean, and it actually doesn't really help at all. Like, you still got to be like on top of it. But
that's true.
This particular, like, they reminded like me that, you know, the Guardian Ape is a beast, and so therefore he will be affected by like the firecrackers. So
oh, you can, yeah, like, that go shit up, didn't help.
Throw, yeah, and I was like, whoa, like that's crazy. Like I like completely forgot that it was an aspect, and it just got me starting to think like about like some of the other enemies and like some, because like, you know, I guess like since I hadn't played Sekiro in like a couple of months, I was sitting here like, dang, I forgot what does what to anybody. Like I forgot. I got this confetti. Like, who does this hurt? Like, I got this fistful of ash. Like, so just like having those tips to remind me of like, you know, I guess like remind me of like some like tips to make the fight a little bit easier. I definitely appreciate and I will seek those out. But I don't think I will like. Unless it's really getting on my damn nerves, I won't like, you know, be like, oh yeah, let me see what are the strategies they're using to defeat this this boss.
Right.
Like I think I created my own strategy for like at least the headless portion of the ape. But
oh yeah, I created my own strategy too, and it was trash. My strategy was trash. It
took forever.
I was like, this can't be right. I mean, like, that's why I don't look up strategy guys, because like you said, like there's some things where I'm like, There has to be a way that they want me to tackle this, like, so that it doesn't take 30 minutes to get through. There has to be something that I'm missing here. The only problem is I'll figure the thing out, and it, like, I still won't commit to it enough to be like, oh, this is the way. Like, Sekiro, we'll talk about Sekiro again because it's the prime example. It'll be like, oh, like, you got to block this guy. You got to block this guy consecutively, and then that'll give you an opening. And I'll be like, there's no way to block him. Like, I'll try to block him, and I'll be like, no, this is impossible. I just can't do it. So I got to find a different way. Same thing with the ape, where it's like, oh, he's an ape. I'll use the firecrackers. And I'm like, dude, this opening is not big enough. I can't. This firecrackers aren't working here. I don't know what to do. So I think that's my biggest problem, is where it's like games where you have to kind of like find out different ways to beat the boss, or like, these are the kind of things they want you to think about when you do. Like, I feel like I don't commit to them enough, and I always end up trying to brute force my way through tough issues, which is which is my biggest downfall, honestly.
Dang, but that's life, though, bro. Sometimes that is life. You do have to just brute force it. Until you find that one solution that works for you, you know?
Big facts. Big facts. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think I'm trying to think of the most recent game I've actually used a guide on. Mm-hmm. And, like, I can't think of any game. Like, most games, if I use a guide, I'll look at things that have to do with choice. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, if I make this choice, will this fuck up my entire game? Or if I use this item, will this fuck up everything? Or will I waste an item that I'll need 30? Like, those things that I have no time for. I have no patience for. Like, I don't want to get an item and have the chance to use it somewhere and then find out, like, oh, I should have used it and I would have got a rare item. Or, oh, if I didn't use it here, I would have been used it 10 hours down the game. Like, mm-hmm. I use guides for all those things. So, Sekiro, I use the guide for that to look up what happens if you use a certain item. Borderlands, all the collectibles in Borderlands, I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm finding all these things. Like, I'm just going to look it up. Any collectible or choice-based thing, I'm looking it up. But other than that, I don't typically use a guide to get through games. Like, the most recent thing I can think of is, and this is, you know, I'm sure there's been a game before this, but Bioshock. Mm-hmm. Bioshock 1. I looked at an entire guide of the game. I looked at a playthrough of the entire game. Of this guy, like, doing, like, you know, a really good run, basically telling you how to cheese your way through the game and be as strong as possible. And I was too scared to play Bioshock at first, which is why I looked at the guide. And once I, you know, was like, oh, this is how you beat this game. This is the strategy. You don't have to be worried about getting fucked up by these crazy ass splicers. I was like, okay, now I'll play through it. So that's the most recent memory, which is crazy to me. But I think I'm just so stubborn. When it comes to, no, I'm just going to get my ass beat 5 billion times until I figure out how to get past this thing.
A true anime character.
Yeah. There are some things that it's just like, there's some bosses like in Dragon Ball Z, Budokai, Tenkaichi 2, I think, where you're fighting Kid Buu at the end of the game. And it's just like, no guy will help me here. This game is just broken. This dude has 10 health bars. Yeah. How do I beat him? I think I had the book to that too. Maybe. Useless.
Dang, yeah, like what would they tell you? Just spam square faster? Like,
I don't know, man. That shit was bro. Or maybe I was just like my mental capacity as a child just couldn't fathom like beating this dude. But I was just like, no, this dude's fucking.
I learned
broken.
How to cheese early in that game. Anybody come over to my house? I said, yeah, y'all want to play?
Oh nah,
I was whooping ass. It's just 1-2 combo, heavy attack. Teleport behind him. Sium, sium. Repeat combo. Kamehameha. Boom. Easy.
Oh, nah. You get that combo away from me.
Nah. I'll bring it back. Xenoverse. Meet me online.
I will not do that. So, I have one more question for you.
Yes.
Stadia's coming out soon. Mm-hmm. We're getting Destiny, the complete pack, for free.
The complete pack, including, like, that new, like, DLC, like, the Shadow Keep or whatever?
Yeah, I think that's in there. Ooh.
Do I get to keep my... I hope I don't have to start over. But anyways, go ahead.
I think you can import your character, but I'm gonna have to start from the beginning anyway, so you got to wait for my ass. But
I might start
over. So in Destiny, mm-hmm. I mean, like, Destiny is one of those vast games. The game is huge, like, and especially on the raids, like, some of those raids are impossible to figure out. Because it's not impossible, but it's just, like, ridiculous. You got to stand here 50 seconds, shoot this thing, do this, and you have to have four people all working together simultaneously to achieve certain things. All right, if we were to play Destiny and we were like, okay, we're going to do this raid, we found two other people, are we trying to do it legit, or are we just trying to look at a guide and get through it? What's your opinion on that?
My opinion, I think it kind of, you know, still stays true to my philosophy. I think we hop right in it, just see, you know, get a feel for it. We'll try and make our way through it. But if we get to a point where, like, everybody's frustrated, we're all sick and tired, it's been maybe, what, 2-3 hours of us just, like, making, like, zero progress whatsoever. Like, if we're making, like, a little bit of progress, you know, each time we're learning something, I don't think that warrants use of a guide. But yeah. If we're just sitting here and it's like, bro, like we spawn in and we die. Like what are right. we doing wrong? Like that right. you I feel like at that point you need to have like a some, at least like a nudge. I think like that's how I like to, you know, get pushed right. forward. At least a small nudge, but yeah. Right. I don't know.
So your team give it your best shot.
Yes.
So for give sure. it your best shot, and if we're just getting fucked upwards and downwards out for hours, then we just gotta do yeah, something.
Maybe not like some hours. Progress. Maybe like, you know, like an hour.
Yeah. Like oh, an hour? We giving up after an hour, so that's how we playing it?
I mean, no, I'm playing, like, I'm playing. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the raid structure of Destiny.
It's crazy. Okay. I'll tell you that right now. Like, to be fair, I would say a huge percentage of people don't do the raid legit. They look okay. up something. Huge. Because it's just like raids are meant to take forever. Raids are meant to be super challenging. Like it's not just like a quick little puzzle or whatever. Like we played like the dungeon raid type thing in Anthem. Oh, where yeah, we fought yeah. that spider guy. Imagine that, but 50 times harder or 50 times more difficult just because they're more well put together, just because they're better put together in Destiny and there's mm-hmm. a lot more components and all four people legitimately have to work together the entire time from what I hear. But yeah, I mean, it's cool. But the thing about those things is like, even if you do have a guide for Destiny raids, it's like, you're not guaranteed to win. Like it's still gonna be super, super challenging. Aspect. Right. Which is why I'm like, oh yeah, like I wouldn't mind looking at a guide, figuring out how to do it and then then it's about the teamwork and the coordination. That's what we're focusing on. The skill, the teamwork team. And coordination.
Did anybody else pre-order Stadia?
Jonathan, I don't think so, but we got two buddy passes.
That, oh, true. I forgot all about that. Yeah.
We did say we were going to give that out on the podcast, but hey, you know, our word is not our bond out here on the player podcast. No, I'm just playing.
Dang, son.
Yeah, man. I mean, to round this discussion out, like, I think there's always going to be a place for video game guides, obviously, because, like, all video games are not intuitive. All video games are not easy, and then like still people will want to know the different branching paths mm-hmm. of a game and all that stuff. I love video game guides. I think they're cool, especially when you start learning secrets through guides and all that stuff, and I think it's there's nothing wrong with using a video game guide. Me, I have a personal, like, I don't know, sense of pride for a lot of games where I'm like, I can't use a guide on this, but you know, if you do, who cares? Not me. What's your closing thoughts on guides?
Folks, let me tell you like it is.
Oof.
If anybody's giving you a hard time because you want to use a video game strategy guide, or if you need some type of help playing your video game, send them my way. I'll teach them a lesson. I'll give them that 1-2 combo. I'll give them that 1-2 heavy attack, teleport behind, Kamehameha combo. And, That'll put them in their place. Yeah, but like for real though, you shouldn't feel like, I feel like sometimes, you know, people may feel like, oh, it's just a game, I should be able to, you know, figure it out. I feel like it's just like anything else in life where if you need help, you need help. And if you want to get through a game and you can do it your own way. It's have it your way. That's the motto of video games, not Burger King. So just have fun, y'all. Don't let nobody tell y'all how to play your video games.
That's a big fact. And with that being said, we're going to go finish up some Sekiro.
Yes.
Well, you are. Who knows how long it's going to take me. Honestly, are you using a guide for Pokemon?
What'd you say?
Are you using a guide for Pokemon?
Ooh, like maybe, probably not like outright. Maybe if I decide to, I don't know, for some odd reason, decide to get serious like Jose or something. And want to train my minds up. But I think like just starting the game out, I just want to go in fresh, like I'm playing mm-hmm. my first Pokemon game again or something like that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, when I play Pokemon, I pretty much do the same thing where it's mm-hmm. like I go in fresh, play through the entire game. I'll beat the game, do all the little side stuff that I wanted to do. Once I do that, I'll look up guides and see, all right, what did I miss? What are some cool hidden things? Like, who are the legendaries running around on the streets? How do I catch these guys? all these things. So, we'll see.
I'm excited.
With that being said, guys, that's it for this week. So, thank you all for listening to Player Player. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes and tell your friends about us. If you want updates about future episodes and giveaways, or you want to submit a question to the show, visit playerplayerpod.com or follow us on social media at playerplayerpod. Big shout out to the boy, Aaron Miller, for the music. Follow him at the Miller Child on Instagram. You can follow me on social media as the Hoop Man. You can follow my co-host, Arson here, as LeakyLeak13 on Twitter, and Arson Lakpa on Instagram, and all of those handles will be in the description of this episode. And until next time, guys, keep gaming. Keep using strategy guides.
At ease.
Nice.